let's go over the parasha, a few short ideas on the parasha. Short, some thoughts, some ideas, just lightweight review of the parasha. First pasuk of the parasha. First pasuk of the parasha, this idea triggered a raw nerve in my mind. Vayidaber Elokim el Moshe vayomer lo ani Hashem. Chazal tell us that the word Elokim is Midas Hadin. Verse Yudke Vavke is Midas Harachamim. Chazal also tell us that the word Dibor also is an expression of harshness. Dukashim kegidin, Lashon Vayidaber, Lashon of a harshness. Whereas Amira is Emor Livnei Yisrael Eila Hanoshim. Amira is an expression of softness. So here it's a Kosma Leves Yaakov. That's why Beis Yaakov is called a Beis Yaakov, because the pasuk there begins Kos Soimar. Why is it called the Beis Yaakov? Why don't we call it the girls' schools on the Beis Yaakov? Because Kos Soimar Leves Yaakov, Kos Soimar, Chazal tell us Eilu Hanoshim. Why Eilu Hanoshim, the Beis Yaakov? Because the Iloshan Amira, verse Kneged, an expression of Dibur. Dibur is harshness. Men are very tough. They need someone to hit them hard. Women are more delicate. You have to speak softly. So being that it says Kois Soimar Leves Yaakov, we're discussing women who are speaking to in a gentle tone, and that's why all of the girls' schools are called the name Beis Yaakov. Whatever you want to call it, they'll call it, it goes to a Beis Yaakov. It's an expression in Klal Yisrael. Did the girl go to a Beis Yaakov? It means that she go to a Jewish, an Orthodox Jewish school. Okay, now what's very interesting is here we have Parshas Vaera. Parshas Vaera really opens up the Makos, opens up the beginning of the Yigulas Mitzrayim. Last week's Parsha was not about Geula. Last week's Parsha, Moshe was recruited, and the Shibud began, and Moshe, the foundation was laid, Moshe was prepared and recruited, but Parshas Vaera really is the beginning, is the Haskhala of the Geula, the process of Geula. And in Geula, the opening Pasuk for everything that's about to happen is telling us, Rebbe Shem is telling us, don't make any mistake about it. When you're going to see Gagula, you're going to see in different midos in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're going to see midos Hadin, and you're going to see midos Harachamim. You're going to see midos Hadin for the Mitzrayim, and you're going to see midos Harachamim for Klal Yisrael. And we're not very great theologians, but in the study of theology, this is a very, very big issue, the form of apikorsis. There are many gods. God can't have more than one task. Gods don't multitask. God is either God of the day, there's a God of the night, there's a God for this month, a God for that month, there's a God for Wednesday, a God for Tuesday, and there's a God that's harsh, a God that's hazrachmim. This, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us in the beginning of this process, is a hagdama, warning, watch out. You're going through a process of gula, you're going to see in gula contradictory midos in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to be very tough with the Egyptians. I'm going to be very difficult with the Mitzrim. And some of the Mitzrim I'm going to be good to. Everyone's going to have a different madrego. We know Kriyas Yamsuf, there were some Egyptians that were sunk like a stone. Some went up and down. Some were somewhere in the middle, Kekash, Ke'evan. So you're going to see different midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to know that it's all the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah is it's only one HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Vayidaber Elokim El Moshe Vayomer Elav Ani Hashem. I'm all the same. It's all wrapped up in one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the same God who will show me the Sadin at times and will show me the Sarachamim. He will show me the Sadin to the Rishoyim and will show me the Sarachamim. This is the Hakdama we need to know when we're dealing with Geula. And that's also true for us, certainly, Bizman Hazeh, when we're coming now to Ikvus of the Mashiach, we're coming to the Musa Mashiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears in different kufos, in different ways, Rachamim and Din. We should not think they're separate. Okay, let's go to another idea. Now this, I'll tell you an old Vart, I have some long time ago, over the years, think of Rabbi Maevsky's son, Moshe Maevsky, always reminds me of this Vart. So when I get very desperate, I go back to my old stuff. So let me go. And I looked at the Vart, I say, no, it's not a bad Vart, it's a good Vart, I like this Vart, so let me share with you. This week we learn about the four Lashonos of Geula. What are the four Lashonis of Gula? V'yotzeisi, v'yitzalti, v'go'alti, v'lokachti. But we also know that there's a fifth lashon of Geula, the Hevesi. I will bring you into Eretz Yisrael. Some have the say to the fifth cup. The Kodesh of the Leo is the cup of the Hevesi. I'll bring you into Eretz Yisrael. The Chassam Sofer says, you don't have to be the Chassam Sofer this. Look at the Pasuk. If you look very carefully at the Pasuk, there are really seven lashonis of Geula. And let me read it to you. You don't have to hide. There's nothing to make believe. Okay, L'chayit Emor L'vnei Yisrael. Now, first, I also want to make note that all of the lashonis begin with the words Ani Hashem. And when I mentioned before, and we're going to come back to what I said before in one moment, but it starts with Ani Hashem. And now we begin the lashonis. V'hoitzeisi, I will take you out from where the sinless Mitzrayim. V'hitzalti, I will save you from the Amei Avodosam. V'go'alti, I will redeem you. Eschem is running to you. V'shot v'dolim. V'lokachti, okay, so far as to go, this is all standard. V'lokachti eschem lilam. I will, I'll take you lilam. Then it says, now that's all part of the same pasuk, and the Chazal don't focus on that one, so we'll leave that. It's not it's a continuation of Lokachti. Then comes the fifth lashon, which Chazal tell us about. And now there's more. Vinosati. That's the sixth lashon. Osa lochem morasha ni Hashem.
That's not a lashon.
Vinosati. Wait, so I left that one. Vehevesi, I will bring you. Vehevesi, it's an action. Eschem el aretz. Asher nosasi es yodi losei soselem tol Yaakov. Vinosati osa, I will give it. Why is it not called another expression? Vinosati osolochem, I will give it to you as a moirasha. Okay, moirasha ki ani Hashem. Now I left out one. What was one that I left out? Wait, let's be very carefully. That's the one. Now I made him say that. I will be. Let's go back and read all the lashons one more time. And this, in fact, is the Chassam Sofer says this. Okay, I'm not making this up. Chassam Sofer is the one that says that indeed there are seven lashonos. You know, I don't have a Chassam Sofer here. I thought it was a Chassam Sofer. Okay, I take that back. I have to find if the Chassam Sofer really says this. But let's look at all the verbs. Let's look at all the verbs. One more time.
What pasuk is it?
Pasuk, the beginning of the parasha. Pasuk Vav. Lochein emor livnei Yisrael ani Hashem. Number one. V'hoitzeisi. It's all the verbs. V'hoitzeisi eschem. Then it says v'hitzalti eschem. Then it says v'go'alti eschem. Then it says v'lokachti eschem. All those four also have the word eschem. Then it says next, v'hoyisi lochem. Okay, v'hoyisi, I shall be. V'hoyisi lochem le'lokim. I will be to you as a God. That is no different than the word v'lokachti eschem. Same form of the word. V'lokachti eschem. I will take eschem, you le'lom. V'hoyisi, I will be lochem le'lokim. That's the fifth expression. Then it says v'datem. Now v'datem is you will know. That's not an expression. You will know. Yeah, why not?
It's a passive action.
Vilokachti, I will take eschem li la'am, v'hayisi, I will be.
That's a passive thing.
It's not exactly the same. Okay, I hear what you're saying. It's not exactly the same, but we're gonna stretch it a little bit. Okay, v'hayisi lochem, vilokachti eschem, v'hayisi lochem. I will be for you as a God. And then you will know vidatem. You will know on your own. I'm not doing anything. Vidatem is not an expression because vidatem means you will know. I will be for you. That means I'm participating in this process. I will be for you as a God, and you will know. Now the next rule is simple. V'hevesi eschem ke'el aretz. Chazal in fact say that. And then the last one is v'nosati oso lochem. The only one that's difficult from all of them is v'hoyisi. But v'hoyisi also can be viewed as an expression. I will be lochem le'lochem. Elokim. It could be that the Chasam Sofer actually says this, that the Hayisi also is somewhat a degree, one of the expressions of Geula. So you take all of these pasuk from the very beginning of Lechein Emol of Bnei Yisrael, and you start with Ani Hashem, and you go with the entire series, and by the way, it concludes also Marasha Ani Hashem. All of these expressions are sandwiched in between Ani Hashem, Ani Hashem. It starts with Ani Hashem, we go through seven Lashonos, V'nasati Yisrael Lechem Marasha Ani Hashem. You know, it's similar to what we say in Kriyashma, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Tzeisi Eschem Eretz Hashem Lios Lechem Elokim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Ani, we discussed this last week. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, beginning of the pasuk, Asher Tzeisi Eschem Eretz Hashem Lios Lechem Elokim, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. We are connect that week to the word MS. We add one more word to go a step further, MS. But the pasuk begins Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Here we have a series of expressions, which really include seven expressions of Geula, and we begin with Ani Hashem, and we conclude with Ani Hashem. Haloi Dover, what is the significance of there really being seven expressions? We only focus in the Haggadah on the four, only until the coming out of Mitzrayim, but really there are more. So I want to suggest the following Yechid, the following Yisod. If you study Tanakh, if you study the entire Tanakh from the beginning to you will discover something fascinating. This is not my observation, this is brought down by the Mepharshim, that seven times in Tanakh it is recorded that Klal Yisrael as a nation brought a carbon Pesach. We know that Klal Yisrael brought a Karban Pesach every single year. There's no question about it. From the time they came to the Eretz Yisrael, they brought a Karban Pesach every single year. Throughout the 410 years, there was a Karban Pesach. And during 369 years, they were in Shiloh. There was a Karban Pesach. Of course, there was a Karban Pesach that was offered every single year. But yet the Torah only records explicitly that Klal Yisrael came together to offer a Karban Pesach seven times. What are the seven times? Well, the first is the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the night of exist. The night when HaKadosh Baruch Hu killed the firstborns of Egyptians, they were told to bring a Karban Pesach. Mishchu Guchulchem Seh V'Shachatu HaPesach. The second time we have a record is the first year in the Midbar. In the Chumash Bamidbar, the first year when they were in the Midbar, exactly 1 year later, they offered a Karban Pesach, and that's when they were taught about Pesach Sheni. There were people that were Tanaim, when they showed them, they also had to bring a Karban Pesach, but that's the second record of Klal Yisrael offering a Karban Pesach. Where is the third reference of bringing Karban Pesach? In Gilgal, in time of Yehoshua, when Yeshua came into Eretz Yisrael and they set up the Mishkan in Gilgal for 14 years, it says the entire Klal Yisrael got together and they offered a Karban Pesach. Where is the fourth reference in Tanakh? Shaul, in preparation for going to Melchama against Amalek, he got the entire Klal Yisrael together and they offered a Karban Pesach. Where is the that was the fourth time. Where is the fifth time? Chizkiyahu HaMelech. After in the aftermath of the Sancheiriv and the entire event of Sancheiriv, it says the Befeish of Chizkiyahu, he mobilized the entire Klal Yisrael and they offered a Karban Pesach. That was a very great time. Chizkiyahu could have been Melech HaMashiach. The next great king to offer is Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu is one of the greatest kings that was right before the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. It was the last great king before the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. Yoshiyahu, he also mobilized the entire Klal Yisrael and they offered there a Karban Pesach. And it only says this in Divrei Hayam. The Karban Pesach, by the way, of Chizkiyahu and Yoshiyahu is not to be found in Malachim. Does not make mention of this in Sefer Malachim. It's only to be found in Divrei Hayamim. It talks about these two major events. And when was the last time? The last time in Tanakh that there was a Karban Pesach by the entire Klal Yisrael? Ezra HaSofer. Ezra HaSofer, when he came to build the Bayis Sheni, he brought a Karban Pesach and he mobilized whoever was there to bring Karban Pesach. So Sach HaKol, you study Tanakh, you'll discover that seven times the record that Klal Yisrael brings the Karban Pesach to review. Yetzias Mitzrayim, the second year when they were in the desert, when they were in the Midbar, they were in the desert. The third time, when the time of Yoshua in Gilgal, when they came into Eretz Yisrael. The fourth time during the time of Shaul, Moshe Melchemes Amalek. The fifth time is Chizkiyahu HaMelech. The sixth time is Yoshiyahu HaMelech, the very end of the Tekuv of the Bayis Rishon. And the seventh time is Ezra HaSofer. Now, based upon that observation, what we can suggest is that the reason why Al-Derech Drush, the reason why the Torah uses seven expressions of Yetzias Mitzrayim corresponds to the seven times that Klal Yisrael offer the Karban Pesach. Zeh l'umah zeh bar elokim. These seven expressions correspond to the seven tkufas, and let's see how they all fit in. They all fit in pretty good. The first expression is the Yitzesi Eschem Meyaretz Mitzrayim. What more can you possibly want? That's the first expression. The first expression is the Yitzesi Eschem Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. What was the first Korban Pesach? The night of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's Tachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. Okay. The next one is the Hitzalti the Hitzalti Eschem Me'Avodasam. I will save you from the avoda, from their avoda. What happened in the desert? In the desert, there were scorpions, there were snakes, there was no water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously saved us in the desert. This hatzala. Okay, it's not perfect, but the expression of it's not hotzesi. Doesn't fit with hotzesi because we already left Egypt. We were in a makom of sakana, and in this makom of sakana, Kadosh Baruch Hu, He saved us. Kadosh Baruch Hu saved us from the elements of the desert. What was the third? It's Vigalti. The word Goel is always used in Chumash to reference to the acquisition of land. Geulas Olam Tiel Alevim. It's a Geula Tiel. Geula is a term. It doesn't just mean redemption. In Chumash Bamidbar, when you describe redeeming land, acquiring land, redeeming land, the term that is used is Geula. When did Klal Yisrael take possession of Eretz Yisrael? During the time of Yeshua. So when it says Vigalti, this is a code, a reference to the Karban Pesach that was offered during the time of Yeshua. Next, then it says, "V'lokachti eschem li la'am." I will take you as a nation. Ein melech b'loy am. When the Klal Yisrael become a melech for the very first time during Shaul. It's v'lokach the eschem li la'am. Klal Yisrael became a nation with the full sense of the word with the king during the time of Shaul. So that's v'lokachti. The next was during the time of Chizkiyahu is v'hayisi lochem l'elokim. Well, when did they bring the Karban Pesach there? You have to go study in Divrei Hayamim. It was at the time of the reunification of the two malchus of Klal Yisrael, Sancheriv exiled the Aseres Hashvatim. And the Malchus of Yisrael became bottle. The only thing that was left was the Malchus of Yehuda. And Chizkiyahu, Divriyam describes that he invited all of the survivors of Malchei Yisrael to rejoin. The Malchus was restored at that point in time only to one Melech Onach. And that means during the time when there was a Melech Yisrael, there was key like there were two gods. Because the Melech of Yisrael, Yeravim ben Nevati, offered calves, golden, offered Avodah Zara. So it was key that Klal Yisrael was worshipping two different gods. All those years when there was two kingdoms, the Malchus of Yisrael and the Malchus of Yehuda, Kaviyachu was like there were two gods in Klal Yisrael. The Malchus of Yehuda, the Malchus of Yisrael, now the Chizkiyahu, the God, the Aseret HaShoatim were exiled, and the Malchus was bottled, and Chizkiyahu, he unified the remainders, the survivors of Klal Yisrael under his authority. It was fulfilled, V'hayisi lochem l'elokim, I now became one God. There was only one God in Klal Yisrael at the time of Chizkiyahu HaMelech. He reunified Klal Yisrael. Okay, the next one is Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu is V'hevesi. V'hayisi is Chizkiyahu.
The Hayisi is
the fifth.
You say Havesi was the fifth.
No, Havesi is the sixth. Havesi is the sixth. I'm sorry. Havesi is the sixth. Look at the order of the psukim. I'm sorry if it was not clear. Havesi is the sixth. In before the Havesi is the Hayisi Lachem Elokim. The Hayisi Lachem Elokim is Chizkiyahu. The Havesi Eschem El Haaretz during the time of Yoshiyahu. Why was I will bring you to the land? Why? There's one thing Chazal said about Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu, he return the Aseres HaShvatim. His machloikis, the Aseres HaShvatim, did they come back? Did they not come back? Will they come back? Will they not come back? There's one opinion that says that Yoshiyahu, he went out to retrieve the best that he could, the Aseres HaShvatim, and he brought them back to the land. So working with this Chazal, the Taka fits, he brought them back, the Aseres HaShvatim, and he offered a Karban Pesach to reunify Klal Yisrael at this point in time, so it was fulfilled to some degree, the Heveis Yeschem El Arts. And the last one is the Nosati Osolachem Moirosha, and the Hashem, this is the best one, time of Ezra. Why is this? Why? What was unique about the kibush of Ezra? We pass like the Rambam. The Rambam says that kibush rishona kedusha rishona kitchel shaita v'loy kitchel liyasilavo. But kedusha shnia, the kedusha of Ezra sofer kitchel shaita v'kitchel asilavo. It was a permanent kedusha. What's a mayrasha? An inheritance. Inheritance. You take possession of the land forever. It becomes permanently yours. So the last of the nasati osolachem mayrashani Hashem. When was Eretz Yisrael given the status of a Mayrasha, that it became the permanent Kedusha, the Kedusha Shnei Kitchel Shaito, the Kitchel Yaslavo, the Kedusha did not depart. That took place during the Tkuf of Ezra HaSofer. So Sach HaKol, we like this Drush, and now let me just recap. Sach HaKol, what we would try to do over here, again, it's a Drush, it's not, it doesn't fit perfectly, but something to think about, and perhaps if you have some insight, you can make it better, you can fit it better. We have over here the Lashonis of Gula. We focus primarily on four. We know that Chazal do mention the fifth lashon of the Hevesi, the Chasam Sofer, and others take note that they're really seven. If you really want, they're really eight words. The word v'yidatem, you will know. There are two words which are v'yisem lachem lukim v'yidatem. So you have 7/8, but we're not going to focus on v'yidatem because v'yidatem is in a form that's even less than v'yisi lachem lukim. So you can definitely take out of these expressions from the beginning to the end, from ani Hashem to ani Hashem, from the beginning to the end, you can take out definitely 7 expressions of Geula, the Otsesi, the Itzalti, the Goalti, the Lokachti, the Hoyisi, the Hevesi, the Nosat, the Hevesi, the Nosati. Did I say all 7? I think I said all 7. One more time. The Otsesi, the Itzalti, the Goalti, the Lokachti, the Hoyisi, the Hevesi, the Nosati. 7 expressions of Geula. There are 7 times in Tanakh when the Karban Pesach is offered as a tzibor. Time of Yitzis Mitzrayim, the time of the Midbar, time of Yoshua, the time of Shaul, time of Chizkiyahu, time of Yoshiyahu, the time of Ezra. And we can suggest that each one of these 7 expressions corresponds to a different kufa. And what's the deeper mesh of this entire thing? It begins with Ani Hashem and ends with Ani Hashem, which means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu appears in each kufa differently. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu delivered salvation, deliverance during the time of Yitzis Mitzrayim, it was a whole different type of gula. Nisim in the flows, Kriyas Yamsof, Tenakos. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when they offered the Karban Pesach during the time of Ezra HaSofer, it was a very different type of Karban Pesach. There were no Nisim Gluim. It was a very difficult kufa when Klal Yisrael offered the Karban Pesach during the time of Ezra HaSofer. And during the other various kufas of Amalek with Yoshua, and during the time of Chizkiyahu and Yoshiyahu, these are all very different kufas in the history of Klal Yisrael. But they all have in common that Klal Yisrael experienced some form of unification, some form of achdus, because the purpose of a Karban Pesach is in order that there should be achdus among Klal Yisrael. And all of these are sandwiched between Ani Hashem in the beginning of these expressions and Ani Hashem at the end of these expressions, which come to indicate that it's all the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't think that the God that took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim with Nisim Niflos and Kriyas Yamsof and Gasar Makos is a different God than the God who took us out, who gave us the Bayis Sheni, the time of Ezra, when they just put up curtains and there were no Nisim and Niflos. It's the same Ribbono Shel Olam. It's Ani Hashem V'Hotzesi. It's Ani Hashem V'Nosati. It's Ani Hashem V'Hevesi. It's Ani Hashem V'Nosati. All the different expressions. Every Tekufa of Klal Yisrael, the history of Klal Yisrael, it's the same Ribbono Shel Olam manifesting himself in a different way, but it's all one HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ani Hashem, from beginning to the end, throughout the entire history of Klal Yisrael. Okay, indeed, there is another expression, V'idatem ki Ani Hashem. Maybe that V'idatem is really, if you want to count every single verb in this pasuk, in these expressions, there's really an eighth. There's really an eighth V'idatem, you will know. Maybe you can, I don't have the details to work this out, maybe you can suggest that's referring to the Karban Pesach that we have yet to offer at the time of Mashiach. The part that's not yet been written. The part where Mashiach will come, certainly Klal Yisrael is going to make a bris.
Not that the Hashem is a tzeki God. Not that is saying that that's your response.
So it's not an expression.
No, it's very good. This, we say anything after 7 is in a spiritual realm.
Okay, but the problem is not in order there. It's not in order, though. It's
after the 7 Lashonis, after the 7 experiences of Gula,
yeah.
Gula, you reach
the madrega of knowing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But it's not in order. It's not in order. The yidatem is in the middle. It's sandwiched in the middle. It's in the middle. Maybe that's the mile. Being in the middle, it's lamala min hazman. It's not necessarily
future. You will know.
You will know. But it's not. It's not. You would think that it should come at the very, very end. If you want to put the yidatem, you would put it at the very, very end. But it's not. It's, you know, maybe it's a mile because the adrab. It's not subject to time. It's something which is a concept which carries us through from beginning to end of time. Okay, you can learn something. Okay, it's a Jewish. It's a machshava. Yeah.
The question is, if you would have like 8
kaisas,
right?
No. 8 kaisas, they would go bankrupt. What? We'll bring the gula quicker. We learned yesterday. 8 kaisas. 2 days, 8 kaisas. Chutz liarts. Erviyas and 8 kaisas. Okay, we're now looking for new rules. Okay. Okay. Yoshiyahu brought, according to one opinion in the Gemara, he brought back the Aseres HaShvatim. The Hedeis Yeschem El Aretz. He went back to retrieve from Chutz Liaretz the Aseres HaShvatim and brought them back to Eretz Yisrael. Unlike Ezra, who did not do that. Ezra, only a... Chizkiyahu, no one left. Chizkiyahu did not bring anyone back. Chizkiyahu remained the Eber. Chizkiyahu, he took the survivors who were living in the land and unified them under his Malchus. And Divrei Hayamim, when the Malchus of Yisrael was but what were going to happen to these people for 200 years, they were not part of the Malchus of Yehuda. They were alone. They were under a different authority, the Malchus of Yisrael. Now the Malchus of Yisrael was batel. So what became of all this? Not everyone went into Galus. Certainly the Aseres HaShvatim went to Galus, but there were survivors. So who did they pledge loyalty? Who took care of them? Who provided services, welfare, and all the social services? So Chizkiyahu took care of them. Chizkiyahu took them under his wings. He unified Klal Yisrael. He made from what was two gods in Klal Yisrael into one god. Because Yeram ben Nevan, the Malchus of Yisrael, by and large, were worshipping idols. They had their own base on Migdash. They had a Migdash in Beersheva. He now, at this time, it says, he took them back under his wing. Everyone was unified. V'hayisi lachem elokim, I became one God. Okay, it's a Jewish machshava. Yeah. Be it as it may.
Yeah. Also has an implication of love.
Right. Doesn't mean that Hashem. It doesn't mean that Hashem is doing. These other expressions, even v'hayisi, I will be lachem. Hashem is doing something. I will be to you. I will be to you. There is a connotation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is participating. He's active.
Yedatim could be for us.
So we know, right, exactly. So there, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not active.
The eighth thing, the ultimate.
Ultimate. So if you go look at these expressions between Ani Hashem and Ani Hashem, there are definitely 7 expressions where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is active. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is participating in the process. We only focus Pesach 4 of these 7 expressions. But if you study from Ani Hashem to Ani Hashem, there are 7. There's a Vidatem, which is a different type of expression, which is on our part. 7 times in Tanakh, there's something going on over here. And that is the basic idea. Okay, let's go to another short idea. Let's go to the next, another idea. Okay, short, alright, so I saw someone ask this question, and I think it's a very powerful insight. We know that Avraham Avinu, Chazal tell us, was tested 10 times. 10 nisyonos. What was the last? What were the 10 nisyonos? So the truth is, the machlokes is showing how to count, how to enumerate the 10 nisyonos. The most common interpretation, Rashi tells us, Rashi, that the 10 nisyonos began with Lech Lecha. Hashem told Avraham Avinu to leave his father, to leave his family, and the 10th nisyon was the Akedah. That's the most common interpretation. Not everyone agrees. Some learned that the death of Sarah was the challenge of finding the Maris Machpelah. There are many other mahalachim, but the most common, what you taught in Chayit, the most common mahalach is that began with Lech Lecha, Me'artzecha, and concluded with the Akedah. Okay, so the parasha begins. Parasha begins, Vo'era El Avram, El Yitzchak, El Yaakov, Bekel Shakai, Ushmi Hashem Lonedati. Right away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't hold a candle to the Amos. To them, I appeared with Kel Shaka. What does it mean, Kel Shaka? I made a lot of promises. I promise. They never saw the fulfillment of my promises. And they had faith in me. You, Avraham, you, Moshe, I never promised anything, and already you're questioning me. You're telling me I can't do this, they're not going to believe, they're not going to want to go out, they don't have faith in me, this and that. You know, look back at the Avos. The Avos didn't have such complaints. They had faith in me. And Rashi, okay, yeah, it's not on this pasuk, but Rashi, a few psukim later on, when he reviews this theme, Rashi says, gives an example. Let me give you an example. This is the Rashi on pasuk Tes. Chaval al the avdin, achen vei to me, woe to me, woe to those lost souls, the avos who have left this world, the loy mishtaking which cannot be found. Yesh li lehisoinen al misas avos. I have what to complain about the death of the avos. Harbe pa'avim niglesi aleim bekel shakai. Many times I appeared in Mikel Shakav Amuli Mashim. And then Rashi goes on to say, Vagam Hakimosi, here's the point, Ucheshe Bikesh Avraham Likbor Es Sarah. When Avraham wanted to bury Sarah, Leimatza Kever, he did not find a grave for her, Ad Shekona Bidamim Mirubim. Paid a fortune of money. Even though I promised him it's his land, I gave him the land as his land. He had to pay. Modern scientists tell us the basic calculation: 400 shekel mevila socher. It's about $3 million in today's currency. They make a calculation. That's what I've read somewhere. $3 million. Aaron Avinu, he paid $3 million for a kever. Can you imagine $3 million to buy a kever? That's what he paid. This is
before. It wasn't one kever.
A cave, whatever it was.
Oiver laseichem.
$3 million. Today it's priceless. Okay, today what?
So 80,000
a kever. So in Har Zeisen, he probably calls the same thing. Prime real estate.
That's what they wanted from the French guys.
They wanted, what do they want? How much? $80,000 for the funeral?
Yeah.
Each one? $80,000? Are you kidding? No. Israeli government wanted each one?
Said no.
They were moichlet. Yeah. They were moichlet at the end.
Yeah. Okay. It was the Kever Kaddish, which officially is the
date. So here's the question. The question is, if you were writing this Rashi, okay, if you were writing this Rashi, and you were saying, Chaval al di avdin, Hashem's complaints. What to complain about the loss of tzaddikim? And you would want to cite an example of the tzidkus, the righteousness, the faith of Avraham Avinu, that he had no complaints against me. Which event in the lifetime of Avraham Avinu would you choose? There are hundreds of events you can choose. Open up a medrash, you'll find hundreds of nisyonos. And you'll say, well, let's go to the big ones, the big ten. What are the big ten? The Kivshano Eish, Lech Lecha, the Akedah. There are Chazal enumerate the 10 nisyonos in Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. Avraham Avinu was tested 10 times, and Rashi there learns that the tests go from, Rashi himself learns that the last test was the Akedah. The Kavura of Sari Menu took place after the Akedah. So this is once he reached the Madrega, not to have any complaints against the Kodesh Baruch, when he reached the climax, the apex of the Akedah, so everything is child play. So it comes the way of Kever. So they want to charge and they want to rip him off. $3 million for the Kever. After he was willing to offer up his only child, his child Yitzchak, Chayikar Zara, as the Akedah. So this is what Rashi is going to select, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Oy, Moshe Rabbeinu, you just complain. Chaval al the Avin, I miss the Avos. The Avos, Avraham Avinu, what a tzaddik. When he couldn't find the Kever, he didn't complain. That's the Maila. You could have, it's like someone, I remember this story, a person, he davened on the Yomim Noiroim, Musaf. I remember this, he davened Musaf on the Yom Noiroim. He spent a whole year practicing. He went to a school. He went to town to learn the Nusach and to learn everything, and he studied by teachers, and then he performs, puts his full heart and soul into the davening. And then, after he finishes, they tell him, you need to finish off also. You finish Kaddish Tiskabel, you do Enkel Okeinu, we're a young Israel, so you do also Anim Zemiros. So he does Enkel Okeinu, and he does Anim Zemiros, he just riles it off. And he didn't prepare for Anim Zemiros. Like, he thought a kid would do it. So from memory. He recalled, he's a yeshiva guy, he doesn't even say Adam Zemiros. So he recalled from memory when he used to daven in the young Israel as a child, he remembered a niggun they had in the young Israel, so he did the niggun. Adam Zemiros, he did a nice quick niggun, mamish, on the spur of the moment. And he finishes the davening and don't alarm, and then he's walking out, he'll give me a shakayach, and then a woman comes over and says to him, "Oh, Cantor, it was a beautiful davening. You know what I really like? I really like the Adam Zemiros." What a beautiful niggun. The thing that I didn't even, it was an afterthought, is what the Nile and everything else are. So here, if you were writing about the trash, Chaval al diavdin, Chaval al diavdin, V'loy mishtachin. Oh, Avraham Avinu, what a tzaddik, I miss him. What do I miss about him? Ma'aras machpelah, he didn't complain. What about the Ten Nisyonos? What about everything that happened until the Ten Nisyonos, which L'chor was greater, because that's what made him into Avraham Avinu? And why is Rashi? It's a good kasha. Why? So the answer is, the Bali Musa say is, Enechnami. It's the small things in life. It's that people have a tendency when you accomplish, like in our example, oh, I finished off, I'm not doing Adam Zemiros. That's not part of the job. It's not part of the job. I gave it my full heart. So let the boss go do the Adam Zemiros.
Exactly. That's what happens to my shul. He walks away.
I'm not interested.
So
the Maila is, even after it was all over, ki ato yodati, ki yirei elokim ata, v'lechosachtas, binchas, yichitcha, asharavta, Hashem gave Avraham Avinu the ultimate compliment. There's nothing more HaKadosh Baruch Hu you can get than HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying to you, the Malach said at the end of the Akedah, ato yodati, ki yirei elokim ata, v'lechosachta, he got the ultimate compliment. So Avraham Avinu, if he really wanted, he can slack off now. He can slack off now. He wants to bear a servant. You don't want to give it to me for free. It's my land. So I'll go somewhere else. I'll go to Beis Shemesh. The prices there are much cheaper. They're much cheaper. Okay, there's someone to talk to. I'm not going to go deal with crooks here in Maris Machpelah. Avraham Avinu had all the right to lower his guard after this point in time. That's the godless of a person. The godless of the person is even when you reach your the most you can have in this world, you've achieved fame covered in money, and you're still a good person, and you still go the extra step. You go the extra step to be a tzaddik gamur. When no one is watching, you're finished. You're done. It's sealed. The documents are sealed, signed, everything. And you're still a mensch? You're still a mensch? That's godless. And that's why chaval al da'avdin v'loy mitshtachin. This is specifically what Rashi is focusing on. Look at Avraham Avinu. After it was all over, he was still a mensch. He didn't lose one madrig. There's something to be said. It's a very powerful Bali Musav, a very powerful word here. Why Rashi Bedafka picked up Dafka on this small matter?
Excuse me then. So what I always if I end for Moshe Rabbeinu was all the nisyonos that happened to the Avos happened to them personally. The Moshe Rabbeinu, when he says Meyoz Basi El Paro,
the leader
was. In other words, he was
for the tzibur.
For the tzibur,
right?
Not for himself. For myself, I wouldn't say boo, but for the tzibur, I have.
It's a different type of nesayim,
and that's why God chose him to be Moshe.
Very good,
Israel.
Very good. Okay, let's go to another idea. This is an observation. It's not a complete idea. Just an observation I saw someone make is we have these two shemos, Shakai and Yudke Vavke. Hashem says, I appear to the others, which will kill Shakai. And Rashi says, Shakai means I made promises. I promised them, and Rashi cites different examples of when I promised Eretz Yisrael and promised children. Every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to make promises, he uses the name Shakai. Whatever, it's not important exactly how the word Shakai relates to a promise, it means a promise. And Yudke Vavke, to you I'm appearing with the name Yudke Vavke, it's the name of the Midah of Amitus, MS, that I will be true to my word. I will fulfill my promises. So I saw an observation. Look what's going on here. To Avraham, the Avos, Hashem only appeared with the name Shakai. To Moshe, Hashem only appeared with the name Yudke Vavke. That means no human being sees the big picture. You're either on one side or the other. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has created a world where you live in a tkufa where Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're making the investments for the next generation, Avraham Avinu Shakai, or you're living at a tkufa where Kadosh Baruch Hu is paying off the investments that someone, the emuna of someone else. In other words, Ma'isa Avos Simin Laban, a person should not think, live a life and think, I have had faith in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm entitled to reap the benefits of my labor, of my emuna. Or it's not the way the world works. Ma'isa Avos Simin Labanim. There was an Avraham and there was a Moshe. Avraham only was zoicha to Kel Shakai, promises, because of the emuna. Avraham invested in the Kadosh Baruch Hu by showing faith in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He made an investment. And then there was Moshe, but Avraham never saw Yudke Vavke. They never saw the reward. And then there was Moshe, who only saw reward. He saw the Geula, he saw Yitzias Mitzrayim, he saw Har Sinai, but Moshe never saw the Kel Shakai. He never saw the hard part of the deal, the emunah of the Avos. And therefore, what is there left for us to say? We should not be foolish enough to think that we have the ability to see in this world the big picture. We, in some dimensions of our life, are living off the payros, the reward of someone else's investments, our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, the emunah that they had in Kadosh Baruch Hu is now the fact that we're alive and we're successful and we're able to do things in this world. It's only Yudke Vavke because of the Shakai of our predecessors. And then there are things that we do in our lifetime where we're not going to see reward. We are making investments in our lifetime for the future generations. We are acting with shakai for what's going to be for the future. No one should think that you start off doing good and by the time you get to retirement, you're going to live off your investments. That's not the way it works. Avraham was Shakai, one generation. Moshe Rabbeinu was Yudkei Vavkei. Each one in there, even though they were extremely great, did not know from the other. They were mutually exclusive. So we can't have expectations that we should expect this to be any different. We live off the benefit of our predecessors and we make investments for the next generation.
Avraham had no one to speak in front of the previous generation.
Avraham made the investment. He made the initial investment. He Kel Shakai. Okay, it's an idea. It's an idea. We have two shemot. I don't have more than that. This is an idea. Okay, let's go to another shurah. This idea. This is a very powerful musavart. At the end of the parashah, the back of Barad, Paro finally wakes up and he says, "All right, you know what, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're right. Chotosi hapoam. I've sinned. I told you can go." And I've held back. I've been stubborn. You know what? Just have the be mispalut HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the hail the baruch should stop, and then I will let you go. Vayishlach Paro vayikra leMoshe ulAaron vayomer aleihem chotosi hapoam. I have sinned this time. If the pasuk would not have written hapoam, it would be okay. V'yomar leim chotosi, Hashem hatzadik v'ani v'ami harishon. That's a pretty good expression. Why did Paro have to say the word hapam? Furthermore, how does Moshe Rabbeinu respond? Moshe Rabbeinu's response is unique, and no, by all the other makos, we don't find such a response like we find by Mak of Barad. V'yomar lo Moshe, kitzeitzi esuir efros eskapayel Hashem angin primispal akolos yachtulun v'abor lo yide oit. And then Moshe Rabbeinu goes on, he says a whole pasuk. We don't need this pasuk. This pasuk is unique to Malka Bart. V'atoy yu v'avodecho yodati, I know, ki terem tiru'un mibnei Hashem lukim. You don't yet fear. You have not yet reached the madrega of a fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're just a phony, Paro. You're a phony. Why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to say this? Kiterem tiru'un mibnei Hashem Elokim. Okay, so you can answer the whole Makabar we'll talk about in a few moments. It's about Yerushamayim. It's about Hayori Dvar Hashem, Heinis Esavodah, Vies Megdim Techasadeh. But we don't find Moshe Rabbeinu giving Musar to Paro in response to any of the other Makos, only in regard to Bar. What's the answer? So the answer is that these two questions answer one another. And this is a very powerful limud mussar. Paro made a fatal mistake by telling Moshe Rabbeinu, Chotosi hapoam. What does that mean? This is the only thing I've done wrong. Everything else in my life is perfect. My hashkafa, my values in life, the way I treat my servants and my family, my hashkafa, everything in my life is perfect. There's only one little thing I did wrong. I spoke during Chazaras Hashatz. That's it. I spoke during Chazaras Hashatz. That's it. Everything else is perfect. You told me to let you go for 3 days to go to the desert, to go offer some sacrifices. No. Chotosi hapoam. That's the only thing I did wrong. Everything else is good. Everything else of not letting you be my slaves and being a kofi toiva and denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. Mi Hashem Asher Eshlach HaSamo. That's fine. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro, that's your biggest mistake. When a person recognizes, has an insight in his life that he has sinned, it is a man's duty to recognize that the deficiency in one particular avera is really throughout your entire life. There's no one that's perfect. No one is perfect in anything. So if you are able to come to the realization, wow, I've done this in Avera, this is a gili, a revelation that everything in your life is no good. Now, you can't say it's no good 100%, but there's room for improvement in all other areas in your life. So when you're saying Chotosi HaPam, you're coming to specify, to limit the damage of your neshama to one particular thing, but everything else is a-okay. That is the ultimate recognition that you have no Yiras Shamayim. When a person does tshuva, he learns Musar and he works on himself. And then he realizes, you know what? I'm not davening the way I should be davening. I need to be mechazik myself in davening. That automatically forces you to realize that it's not just your davening is no good. It's your learning is no good. It's your midos, ben adam l'chavero. It's the way you do mitzvahs. It's the way you relate to adam l'chavero. When there's a sin, there's a symptom in one part of the body that's not functioning well, that means the whole body is not functioning well. It spreads. That's the nature of ruchnius. For Paro to say hapoam, this particular sin, automatically caused Moshe Rabbeinu to respond, oh, hapoam! Now I know for sure you have no Yiras Shamayim. Because you got a Yiras Shamayim recognition of one problem would cause you to reevaluate your entire life. Okay, let's go to.
It also says like
Anachnami. There's no end. There's no end to how perfect you can be. But.
How do you? I just want to interpret the first part.
That's what he's saying in this matter. Chatosi apam. In this matter, Hashem said to let me go, to let the people go, to let them go for 3 days in the desert to offer sacrifices. And I said, no, I'm not going to let the people go. Hashem is right. If Hashem wants, I have no choice but to let him. But that's the only thing that's wrong. That is the only thing that I have done wrong in my life. Chatosi apam. And not listening to Kadosh Baruch, but everything else in my life is rosy. Most, that's the attitude in life. Then Terem Teidum Ibnei Hashem Elokim.
Can I ask one question? Where did this thing about the 3 days, where did Moshe get that?
Hashem told him.
Yeah,
Hashem told him. Hashem told him, 3 days.
This is going to be the story.
3 days.
Tell him, this is how you're going to do it. We're just going to tell
him. Okay.
We're going out for 3 days. And they left him.
Okay, another observation. This is not a complete idea. We have Perek Shira. All the various creatures of the universe sing a specific song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And most of the songs that are sung by each individual creature, whether it's a tree, whether it's a fish, whether it's the Taninim HaGedolim, whether it's the sun, the moon, the stars, is always a pasuk in Tanakh. There is one exception. There's only one creature in the entire Perek Shir that sings a song that's not to be found in the Tanakh, and that is the Tzardeya. The song of the Tzardeya is the pasuk, not the pasuk, the expression to Medrash, Baruch Shein Kivod Malchuso Liolam Voed. Nowhere does it say that in Tanakh. It's a medrash. It's a tradition. It's a legacy that when Yaakov Avinu, when Klal Yisrael said to the children of Yaakov, said to Yaakov, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad. So we have a tradition that he responded with the words Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Sol Li'olam Vaed. And somehow that made its way into Chazal. It made its way into Perek Shira. And the Tzfardeya, the song of the Tzfardeya is Baruch Shem Kivoy Malchus Sol Li'olam Vaed. So the question is why? Why is it number one that the Tzfardeya does not have a pasuk? Why is the Tzfardeya singing specifically this expression Baruch Shem Kivoy Malchus Sol Li'olam Vaed? So I don't have an answer. The only things I've seen is that the Tzfardeya is a creature that's tamei. It's not a kosher. It's not really right because you have other non kosher creatures. Which sing psukim, but the tzvardeya is a more complex creature in that it's an amphibian. It's all creatures. There's a land version and a water version. There is a land version of a dog. A dog goes in dry land, but there's a water version of a dog. What it is, I don't know. That's what the Chazal say. The only creature
says it's a crocodile, and the Rambam seems to say that it's
both. But those are both. That's why it's amphibian, because it's both water and land.
Right.
By and large, most of the creatures have versions, land versions, and an equivalent in the sea. There's some creature in the sea that is the equivalent of a dog on dry land. So, and Chazal tell us that there's a Chazal that if it's tameh on dry land, that automatically means that it's tahar in the water. If it's kosher on dry land, as snabivik haskeses in the water, that means that its land version is definitely non-kosher. Ze l'uma ze bore l'kim, because the Shmuel created creatures and he divided them among the dry land and among the water, and each one parallels the other. So every creature has a kosher counterpart which can draw from the Torah, a pasuk in the Torah, in order to sing shus. Even though you have a dog, the dog will sing a pasuk in the Torah, but the reason why the dog can sing a pasuk in the Torah, even though the dog is a non-kosher animal, is because the dog has a counterpart that is in the sea, and the counterpart has to be kosher, because if the dog is not kosher, the counterpart has to be kosher. So that part that's kosher is able to draw kedusha from the Torah. But the one that's an exception to this rule is the tzfardeya, because the tzfardeya is an amphibian, doesn't have a counterpart. It itself is a composite of two different aspects of water and dry land, and therefore it's permanently tamei. It cannot draw kedusha from the Torah. It has to say something that's not in there. Okay, that's one mahalach. But on a deeper level, I just want to point out that we know that Baruch Shem Kivoyed Malchus, okay, this is just a horror, just an observation. Baruch Shem Kivoyed Malchus Sol Yolam Vod is the translation for Kaddish. Yehei Shmei Rabba Mivarach Le'olam Ul'yolmeil Maya. And in fact, if you go look at the Midrashim, the Targum Yushalmi, so we have the Targum Yosef and the Zil Targum Yushalmi, that when Yaakov Avinu, when the Shvatim said to Yaakov, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and the Shvatim responded, so it's Machlekes, it's the Targum Yushalmi, the Targum Yosef and Uzil. What was the response? Was the response Baruch Shem Kivoyed Malchuso Li'olam Moed? What was the response of Yaakov Avinu? Yehei Shmei Rabba Mivarach. How could there be a machlokes in the Yushalmi and the Targum Yosef ben Uzil and the Targum Yushalmi as to what the response of Yaakov Avinu is? The answer is all the Mefarshim say it's the same thing, that the meaning, the deeper meaning of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso Li'olam Vaed is exactly the same thing as Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach Li'olam, Hashem's name should be exalted, it should be magnified, Li'olam Lo'olmeil Maya is pretty much the same thing as Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso. The Kvod Malchuso is the Shmei Rabba. It's not the same thing. The Shmei Rabba, the exalted name of Kodesh Baruch Hu, is the Kavod Malchus, is the name of Kodesh Baruch Hu's Malchus. It's the same thing, and the two Targumim actually prove this point. When do we say Kaddish? When do we say Kaddish? We say Kaddish when a person leaves this world. This is the tradition. We have various it's not really clear all the sources for this, but when a person leaves this world, the relatives fill the void. A neshama is no longer here. Neshama is giving honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is giving Kedusha, and when that neshama is no longer here, someone must take that place. So a relative now says, I'm going to fill the void, plug the hole, the Kedusha is no longer in this world because the Neshama has gone to another world. So you fill the void, and the child says, Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach La'olam Lo Melmaya, which we know from the Targum is the equivalent to Baruch Shem Ker Malchuso Li'olam Moed. Who was the first creature to give up their life, to give up their life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to leave this world in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Okay, you have Aram Avinu, but Hananya, Mishael, Azariah, who did they learn from to give up their life? They left Aram Avinu, why? Because Aram Avinu had no choice. Aram Avinu was thrown into the Kibshon HaEsh. He had no choice. But the Tzardeya, had a choice. Each frog did not have to go into the fire. Each frog could have chosen. Someone has to go into the fire. Not me. Someone else will go into the fire. Each frog chose, it's going to be me. Hananya, Mishael, Azariah did not have to give up their life. They could have run away. They could have not just been present. They could have called in sick on that day. When the Nebuchadnezzar, the Mary, went bowed down, they could have called in sick. They know when it was coming. They could have called in sick. And in fact, they were expected to call in sick and not to get into. They made a Kalam Chaim from the Tzvardeya. Okay, this is discussion. There's a lot of Torah on this, exactly what the Kalam Chaim was. But the Tzvardeya taught the world, this little simple creature that's right there, taught the world that you have to go the extra step. You have to go the extra step and give up your life, take your life, and dedicate it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the extreme. Death is the extreme. And with death comes the expression Baruch Shem Kivod Malchuso Li'olam Bo'ed, or what we call Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach La'olam Lo Melmaya. So I'm not telling you a complete vart, but I just want to show that there's a parallel, there's a chut that runs through all of these things. We say Yehei Shmei Rabba when a person dies. That's the climax of Kaddish. A person dies, we look at it as a surrender. That's how we look at death. Person knew, the Malchamavis knew, there's a battle. You lose the battle. Right? That's the way it's described in the secular world. You lose the battle. But it's not really the way Chazal look at death. Chazal look at death is, you are, kaviyachal, willingly giving yourself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I live my life. I live for 120 years. I served you. And now, I willingly, we don't see it that way, I return myself to you. I give myself back to you. It's a different way of looking at death. Not looking at death as a surrender to but with that, we accompany this event of Yitzias Neshama with Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach La'olam Lo Melmaya. Where else do we see this concept? The Tzardeya. The Tzardeya. What is the song of the Tzardeya? Baruch Shem Kvar Malchuso Li'olam Moed, which is the same thing as Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach Le'olam Melmaya. And the Tzardeya is the creature that Chazal tell us that was the source of giving up your life, devoting your life. The purpose of my existence is I should return it to you in a form of Kvod Shemayim. And from this, Hananya, Mishael, Azariah gave up their life to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to allow themselves to be thrown into the furnace in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you just still see over here, there is this common thing which runs through everything. Okay, to leave with one last word. The world's one is Barat. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Paro that Pamazos Anishlech es kol magefos sai el libcha. I will send all of my magefos el libcha into your heart. Rashi says Mikan, here we learn that Shukula Makas. So it depends on the Gersa, Makas Bechoros is Shkula Kineged Kol HaMakos. So the question is, what does Makas Bechoros have to do with Barat? So in the Hanami, so a lot of the Rashi, a lot of Chumash, and they say it's a Tos Adfus. It's Makas Bitseros, meaning Barad, because with Barad came a famine. The Barad knocked out the Chita of Yakusemes Lo'anuku. The Pishtav Asar, there was a famine. It brought about a famine, so it's not Makas Bechoros, Maka of Bitseros. Bitseros means a shortage of food that resulted due to Maka Bechoros. The Maka Barad was Shakul Keneged kol hamakos. Hinei anochi shtachas kol magefo sai elibcha. It's even more severe than makas b'choros. How could that possibly be? How could it possibly be that makas b'choros is more severe than makas b'borod is more severe than makas b'choros? And the answer, if you look in the Rashi, Rashi appears to hint to this answer. There was something very unique about makas b'borod. Moshe Rabbeinu told Paro that it's going to come at a very specific time. Moshe Rabbeinu, he put an etch in the wall, a srita in the koisel, and he said that when the sun, when the shade reaches exactly this point on the wall, at this specific time, is when the makor is going, the bard is going to begin to descend. Even at makas b'choyrois, we don't have a precise moment. Approximately at Chatzos Salayla, Ani Yotzei B'Soch Mitzrayim. Why does it say Kichatzos Salayla? So there's a discussion because time, you know, time travels. Time travels. There's a timeline, and the timeline is not just in hours. It's in fractions of seconds. There are many answers, but one thing is clear: it was not precise. At least it was not precise. At least to the mind. At least to the something to be able to define on the clock. It's kichatzeis. Barad had the maila that it was with precision. Now, what does that tell us? The koyach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has over Zman, this represents the greatest Kiddush Shem Shemayim in this world. We see it here, we see this as an observation, we see this theme in multiple places in Chazal. One of the greatest gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us is HaChodesh HaZel Lochem Rosh Chodashim. The very first mitzvah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift of time. He gave us the ability to control the calendar. You decide when it will be Yom Tov. You are Mekadesh Al Pi Re'iyah. If you want to add a day, you want to subtract a day, it's your discretion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift of time. Time is something that is purely in the domain of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to predict with precision a very specific moment is a revelation, is the ultimate revelation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls the world. Today, with all the technology, what was Barat? Barat was pretty much, it was rain, it was hail, it was rain. I'm going to descend upon this world, bring rain down, Barat. Today, with all the technology, we can go to the moon, we can go to Mars, we can have a one-way ticket to Mars. We can do, there's nothing you can't do. You take out a smartphone, half live a fella. What you can do with a smartphone. And yet, they still can't predict what the weather is going to be in an hour from now. I'm not talking about tomorrow, for sure they can't predict. I'm talking about in 10 minutes from now. Will it rain? Will it not rain? Can you predict with precision when it will rain, it will not rain? Even with all of today's technology, it cannot be predicted. Yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Paro, I'm putting an etch on the wall. And exactly when the sun reaches this location, it's going. This represented the ultimate Hashkacha Pratis, a revelation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in control of this world. There's nothing now, there's nothing more Gashmi than, we will discuss this, than time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described, the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is Yudke Vavke, Hoya, Hoyve Viyya. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in the spiritual world, the past, the present, and the future is all the same. There's no difference. Time is all one big mix. Gashmius is time. This is the Dover that's completely separate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is time. And yet, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to control the time, to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he descends, his koyach, his shlita, descends even into the koyach of Zman with precision to the exact moment, this, in this respect, is shakal keneged kol hamakos, is even greater than makas b'choros. Because makas b'choros, people die, kachi darka shalom, people die and they're born. Life and death. But Zman is kula gashmi. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu can dig with such precision. This is kol magefo sai elibcha. This touches a person's heart. With that, a wonderful Shabbos. On Monday I'm gonna be an hour late, so you can have the great pleasure of hearing from Rabbi Shmuel Mayevsky.
You celebrating Martin Luther King's birthday?
Not exactly.